Well, thank you, everyone, and for joining us this morning. I'd like to begin the regular meeting of the Board of Directors on the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District this morning on January 26th at 8 a.m. We'll go to the agenda, and item number one is Pledge of Allegiance. So, Ruben, can you tee that up for us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll go to item number two, which is a roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Here.
Director Garcia?
Here.
Vice President Santana?
Here.
President Chavez?
Present. So let the record reflect that all members are present for this meeting this morning, and we'll go to item number three, adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second, Santana.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. If no discussion, then Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That item passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number four, public comments. Anyone wishing to speak before the Board of Directors this morning may do so. However, there will be a public hearing on item number seven, so if it's on that topic, you may want to save it for that time. If not, we'll entertain public comments at this time. Vanessa, anybody has submitted public comments?
Good morning, President Chavez. As of now, we have not received any public comments, and I do not see any hands raised.
Okay, so we'll move on to item number five, which is consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar as presented?
So moved, Garcia.
Mr. Chair, this is yes. District Council. I wanted to make one comment on the minutes from the last meeting that was brought to my attention. If you take a look at the minutes and you scroll down to them, on the it looks like page 13090. It's a discussion concerning the census recap and the redistricting plan. You'll see in the second complete paragraph, you'll see reference to Patty Cortez's discussion of the Fair Maps Act. And this is an act that has to do with the redistricting for counties. It doesn't apply to special districts, but I believe Ms. Cortez was just trying to give the board some context as to certain considerations that other agencies consider when they're redistricting. And in that paragraph, you'll see the last sentence in that paragraph talks about keeping cities contiguous, taking into account communities of interest, and keeping incumbents in their current seats. And that language is, but I believe Ms. Cortez was trying to do is to capture one of the statutes that's in the Fair Maps Act that talks about that. But in our context, as a special district not subject to that act, I think it's a little misleading. So my recommendation would be to strike that last sentence. It has no substantive impact on the district's business, and it is a little misleading where it says it's designed to keep the incumbents in their seats. That has to do with Elections Code Section 21506, which talks about the term of office for any board of supervisor of a county who has been elected and whose term of office has not expired. That person would not be affected by the change in boundaries. I talked to Patty about this, and that was the intent. But as phrased in the minutes, it's a little misleading. So my recommendation would be to approve the minutes with that sentence deleted.
Absolutely. So we have a motion on the floor. Would the maker of the motion accept that amendment? I think it was
yes.
Garcia.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And we'll still keep the second if no objections to that. Any other discussion on this item? If not, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. So that item passes with the amendments added or the corrections. And then we'll move to item number six here, action items. So we have actually 1, 2, 3, 4 appointments. So, Mr. Love, can you, if we could do all these at one time, can you let us know who the appointments or who our current representatives are for A, B, C, and D before we take any action?
Yes, President Chavez. So the Aqua JPIA representative is Director Garcia. The San Gabriel Valley Water Association representative is Director Santana. The San Gabriel Valley Protective Association representative is also Director Santana. And the San Gabriel Valley COG is Director Santana.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking Mr. Love to make those announcements, I haven't heard any feedback for any changes on these appointments. Those people that were named, if you're satisfied with your position, your current positions, I'll be happily to just ask that we take no action because these positions are at will and therefore they'll be ratified and stay the same. If there's no objections to that, that's what I would like to do. Is there any objections or comments about these positions?
No objections.
Okay. So if with no objections, then I will accept those same appointments and there will be no action that's needed. They'll just those positions will basically just roll over and continue. Is that okay, Mr. Attorney? Stephen?
I'm sorry, I was muted. Yes, I just, as I sit here, I don't know if, like, the judgment requires an annual appointment to the Water Master Board. So, in an abundance of caution, I'd recommend that someone move the continuation of the existing offices.
Okay, but Water Master is not on here. Is that correct?
That's correct. This does not the Water Master appointment was done last year, and that is done annually. The Water Quality Authority is done every 4 years. That was done, I think, a couple of years ago.
Do you know about the Protective Association, Tom?
Yeah, the rest of them are at-will appointments. And
okay.
No specified term.
All right, then I withdraw that bad advice, and I think you're okay to continue with status quo.
Okay, so if no objections, so ordered, those appointments will remain intact, and thank those directors that have served in the last year, and hopefully they'll continue to do a good job in the coming year. With that, we'll dispense with that item and go to item number 7, a public hearing regarding Upper District's 2020 Census Redistricting Plan and Map Review. At this time, I would like to open up a public hearing. And then we'll go to item 7B, which is presentation of the Upper District's 2020 Census Redistricting Plan and Map Review. So, Mr. Love, do you want to open it up?
Yeah. So if Ruben or Nicole, if you could bring up that presentation, if you're having difficulty with that, I can share it. There it is. Thank you. All right. So we're going to go through this information pretty quickly. You've seen it before. We've got a little refinement on how we're displaying some of the data and information. But to start with, just to go through the methodology, I'm going to have Patty cover the first part, and then I'll cover the maps. So, Patty, take it over. Patty, I don't know if you're muted. Well, you are muted.
Are you finished?
Okay. I'm here.
Okay.
All right, I'll start all over. Good morning, directors. What I'm going to go over today is a presentation that you all have seen already. This is information that Stetson Engineers has compiled for us, going through the census data and then also explaining to us staff the methodology that they used. So, Ruben, the next slide, please. So as we've discussed before, total population within each division was estimated using GIS analysis based on the division boundaries and then using the current census data for 2020. In previous presentations, we've shown you the differences between what was shown in, or what the numbers were in 2010, just for comparison purposes. Cities are comprised of individual census blocks, which represent smaller statistical areas, for which demographic data on total population by age, sex, and race are available. For census blocks located entirely within a division, the entire population associated with the census block was incorporated. For those that were located partially within a division, the portion or the percentage of the census block that was located within the division was determined using GIS. And so that percentage was applied to the census block's total population. As we've discussed before, there's another set of numbers called the citizen voting age population. These are the actual numbers that will differ considerably from total population that we use to as the determining factor when drawing division boundaries. So for the 2020 census data, some of the key highlights that were presented by Stetson were from 2010 to 2020, Upper District's total population actually decreased by a little over 1,000. Divisions 3 and 5 have relatively larger population declines, 3,697 and 5,880 respectively. And Division 4 had a relatively larger population increase, just over 7,000. From 2010 to 2020, the deviation from the average of the division's total population decreased from 2.9 to 2.2, suggesting that the populations within each of the division boundaries have become more equal. So just to explain also the importance of the deviation, generally when looking at how to draw division boundaries, by law, they would like the deviation to be less than 10%. So as you can see, the boundaries are still within that deviation range. Next slide, please. This is just to show you a comparison between, and again, this is showing total population. The differences between 2010 and 2020, just the changes that I briefly highlighted in the summary slide. Next slide, please. Also wanted to give you a breakdown on the 2020 total population by ethnicity. So as you can see here, overall, the five divisions remain equal in terms of having three dominant Hispanic divisions, and then, I'm sorry, four, and then one dominant Asian. Next slide, please. Just to highlight the citizen voting age population, again, these are the numbers that we're going to be looking at as we look at each individual division. So you'll see here the population number has decreased considerably for each division, but you'll see that the standard deviation for each of these still remain below the 10%. And then also I just want to highlight, so total, Ruben, if you can just flip back real quick. So total citizen voting age population total is just over 600,000. And then the next slide, Tom, is all you for the map review.
All right. So go to the next slide. The first map is the entire district boundaries with each division shown in the different colored border lines. The city boundaries are showed in the shaded colors. And then we've added to this map the pie chart showing the demographics within each division. And so looking at the maps, the green is the non-Hispanic, Asian. I'll just leave off the non-Hispanic adjective. So Asian is green. Latino is red. White is blue. And then we've got the other races, which includes African-American, just other, because they're small categories. And so you can see that the relative ethnicity within each division, as you can see, we do have three Latino majority districts, one Asian majority district, and then Division One, and not district, but divisions. And Division One has a pretty large population of Asian, Hispanic, and white. Next slide. And then we drill into each division boundary, just so you can see in a little more detail the division boundaries. First division, director fellow, includes parts of El Monte, Temple City, part of Rosemead, all of Arcadia, all of Monrovia and Bradbury, and a small part of Duarte. Also, portions of Azusa. Next slide. Director Trevino has all of South Pasadena, all of San Gabriel, a large portion, most of Rosemead, and part of Temple City. You may note down near the center, there's near the where it says Monterey Park, there's a little blob. I guess you call that the Battle of the Bulge. You might ask, why is that drawn that way? That is actually Garvey Reservoir. It's a metropolitan facility that is within metropolitan service area. The rest of Monterey Park is in the San Gabriel District service area. So years ago, Upper District and MWD wanted their facility and property MWD owned to be within their service area. So that's within the Upper District boundaries. However, there is no population within that little blob. Next slide. Oh, and Director Trevino also has part of El Monte. Division Three. This is sorry. All of a sudden, drawing a blank. Director Garcia, a little bit of South El Monte. I'm sorry. This is Director Chavez. A little bit of South El Monte. There's a small piece of Montebello within the district service area, La Puente, and then the unincorporated regions around Hacienda Pipe, Hacienda Heights, and a little bit of West Covina. Next slide. Division Four is Director Garcia. The majority of West Covina, the portion of Covina, which is the majority of Covina within Upper District service area. We do have a little bit of Glendora in our service area. We don't really talk about Glendora much. And a little bit of Azusa and most of Irwindale. Next slide. And then the fifth division, majority of El Monte, almost all of Baldwin Park, the other part of Irwindale, and the better part of the city of Duarte. Next slide. And I think that concludes our presentation. So at this point in time, you know, I suppose we could answer some questions regarding the presentation. But the public hearing, we will move on next to public comment. But if there were clarifications regarding the presentation on the maps, I think it's appropriate that we, you know, if there's any questions on those at this point before we move to public comment. And the board discussion will take place after the public comment.
Okay, so if there's any questions on the presentation by directors on your respective maps, you may entertain that now. If not, then we could always revisit that conversation. We'll continue to public comments. So, Vanessa, we received at least five public comments that I have read. So can you address those and read them into the record, please?
Yes, President Chavez. Okay, so the first one that we received is going to be from Cynthia Sternquist. Dear directors, fellow Chavez, Garcia, Santana, and Trevino, I'm writing you in support of keeping the current water district boundaries as they currently are. the general manager reported that the population within the district decreased by about 1,000 people. The change between divisions resulted in the average standard deviation decreasing from 2.9% in 2010 to 2.2% in 2020. He explained that this equates to the divisions being more equal in terms of population size at this time. The GM shared that the current regulations require that the standard deviation be less than 10%, which makes the need to redistrict any of the divisions unwarranted. The general managers reported that the current ethnic diversity of the district as a whole, as well as each division having a majority-minority population, leads further argument for keeping the district as is. Furthermore, legal counsel reported that the current upper district boundaries meet both state and federal legislation and are fully defensible. The city of Temple City just went through the redistricting process with Los Angeles County, which caused much confusion and concern with our residents. After numerous and well-publicized community meetings, both Temple City and Arcadia were kept in the same districts due to residents' input to stay the same. I would urge the directors to vote to keep the status quo and agree with the Vice President Santana that it would be irresponsible to spend money on something that is unnecessary and which could cost the district up to $50,000. That money could be better used to enhance the district's water education programs. Let's not fix what isn't broken, as supported by the data provided to the directors and public at your last meeting. Thank you for all the work you do for our communities. Sincerely, Cynthia Sternquist, Mayor Pro Tem, City of Temple City. Okay. The next public comment we received is going to be from Ms. Jessica Ancona. Honorable board members, I write to you as mayor of the city of El Monte regarding public hearing item 7B on your January 26th agenda regarding redistricting for the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District board seats. The city of El Monte has a long history of being represented by current district boundaries with both common and diverse communities of interest within the existing district configuration. Therefore, allowing the current district boundaries to remain as currently configured will provide both continuity and keep intact long-standing stakeholder relationships and collaboration on issues of citywide and region-wide significance. Sincerely, Ms. Jessica Ancona, Mayor, City of El Monte. The next public comment we received is from Kenny and Marla Provencio Rangold. Dear Honorable Directors, I am writing to ask you to keep the boundaries that each director has intact and to not make any adjustments to the map being currently used. It would be irresponsible for the district to have to pay for a demographer to study and try to tweak or change the boundaries for a purpose that has not been justified. I would rather see more focus on education to help educate my neighbors and residents in Arcadia on how best to conserve water. Redistricting to provide an advantage to keep incumbents in their seats, as referenced by Ms. Cortez in her last statement at the last meeting, is not a reason to spend taxpayers' money. Please do what is right and is working by keeping things as they currently are. Sincerely, Kenny and Marla Provencio Rangold, City of Arcadia. Our next public comment is from Samuel Kang, Council Member, City of Duarte. Honorable board members, I write to you on behalf of the City of Temple City regarding public hearing item 7B, redistricting for the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. The city of Duarte City has a long history of being representative by current district boundaries with both common and diverse communities of interest within the existing district configuration. Therefore, allowing the current district boundaries to remain as currently configured will provide both continuity and keep intact long-standing stakeholder relationships and collaboration on issues of citywide and region-wide significance. I encourage you to keep the maps and director's boundaries as is with no adjustments whatsoever. Thank you very much. Samuel King, Council Member, City of Duarte. The last one we received is from Brian Cook, City Mayor, City Manager, City of Temple City. Honorable Board Members, I write to you on behalf of the City of Temple City regarding public hearing item 7B on your January 26th agenda regarding redistricting for the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District Board seats. The City of Temple City has a long history of being representative by current district boundaries with both common and diverse communities of interest within the existing district configuration. Therefore, allowing the current district boundaries to remain as currently configured will provide both continuity and keep intact long-standing stakeholder relationships and collaboration on issues of citywide and region-wide significance. Sincerely, Brian Cook, City Manager, City of Temple City.
So, Vanessa, was that the last one?
Yes, it is, President Chavez.
Okay, so we have no further written comments then at this time?
No, I do not.
Okay, so those that are on our call, anyone wishing to address this issue may let us know by raising your hand or indicating that you wish to make a public comment.
President Chavez, I do see that Al Contreras has his hand raised.
Okay. Al Contreras, please address the board.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of the board. My comments are very, very simple. As Patty and everyone stated, the census has increased in Division 4 and decreased in Division 5. A few years back, 10 years ago, some of the areas was changed from Division 5 to Division 4. And as also Tom Love, our general manager, mentioned that most of the redistricting are all within the same city. I would like to see my area, which is only about 80, 90 homes possibly, to go back to Division 4 for the reason that it would also increase the numbers in Division 5, as well as Irwindale. I couldn't see the map very well because it was so small, but I'm thinking Irwindale, all of Irwindale and all of Owl Park should be moved, if it's not already there, to Division 4, and thus balancing the numbers even greater and closer to reality. And a question that I have, should this be or was it advertised in the newspapers? If no, if not, if it doesn't need to be, so be it. But also, as you guys know me, I read the agendas, even though I may not be participating. I do see, again, a spelling or an error on the date for the December meeting. It showed it as December 2022. It should be changed to December 2021. And those are my comments. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Any other speaker wish to address the board at this time regarding this issue during the public hearing?
President Chavez, I don't see any other indication from anyone else wishing to make a public comment at this time.
Okay. So if that's it, we'll go to 7D. Is it appropriate at this time to close the public hearing?
Yes, Mr. Chair. And also, I just want to know, by statute, the board is required to have two public hearings before it submits its maps. So this is the first public hearing, and there will be another public hearing on this matter.
Okay. So I hear beepy noises. Someone raising their hands, or If not, then I'll go ahead and close the public hearing for today, and we'll go to 7E, which is instructions to staff. So, Mr. Love, is this when we, when the board of directors could address some of these issues?
Yes, Mr. President, this is the time for the board discussion.
Okay. So, members of the board of directors, colleagues, we heard a presentation, we heard written comments, and we heard a one oral comment. Is there any issues that you wish to address or to point out to the our staff to make any corrections? You may do so at this time. Okay, so we'll go ahead and continue. So there'll be another public hearing, and we'll pretty much do the same thing over again.
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay, so that'll be fine. So we'll go to the public hearing is closed, and then we'll go to item number 8. Adjourn back to our regular meeting. Then we'll go to item number 9, which is informational items before us. Go to item number 10, attorney's report. Mr. O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A few items you worked on with staff in the past several weeks, primarily working with Tom and staff concerning the redistricting issue. That was the majority of our time spent on that. So that concludes my attorney's report.
Okay, we'll go to item number 11, engineer's report. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A fairly short report. As you all know, we got some rain in December, but it's been very, very dry since. So the key well was measured on the 21st at 182.3. I apologize because I can't explain it right now, but the key well actually went up a tenth of a foot from the previous week, and it's up 0.3 of a foot from the previous month. Normally, we don't see a reaction of the key well until we start putting water into Santa Fe spreading grounds. We haven't put any water in Santa Fe spreading grounds. So we're trying to figure this out, but a combination of a lot of rain in December on the valley floor could affect that. And it's been a while since it rained. And a combination added to that combination is while it's raining in December, obviously usually irrigation cuts way back. And so our pumping requirements, the pumping of the wells to deliver the water to the residents who actually irrigate their property cuts way back. So it looks like a combination of just the rainfall and reduced pumping in December. We got a little reaction, and it's good news. I mean, the fact that we actually turned around before we put water in the spreading grounds, very good news, because getting it going in the right direction is a great start. So that's where we're at the key well. We're still 17 feet lower than we were just a year ago, about 130,000 acre feet in cyclic storage. The reason why it's dropped from 150,000 is because we did purchase some water out of cyclic storage in order to take advantage of Metropolitan's lower price in 2021, price increase in 2022. San Gabriel Reservoir, we're still filling. Inflow to San Gabriel Reservoir is almost 100 CFS, 92 CFS as of the 24th of January. So as a result of the rain and a fairly saturated watershed, we are seeing inflow into San Gabriel. That's water in storage that we'll be able to use and actually put it into Santa Fe, but we're not doing it yet. We're waiting. We still got room for storage. We're ready for more rain. Water deliveries in December, Upper District, up to San Gabriel Canyon, through the surface water treatment plant and some spreading of San Gabriel Canyon, almost 2,500 acre feet. That's all the imported water coming in the basin. Rainfall, because we went through a good December, but not much in pretty much nothing in January. Our averages have dropped off again for pudding stone. Normal for this time of year, basically through January. Normal is about 9.5 inches, and we've got normal is about 9.5. We've got 8.3. So we're about 88%. You recall just last month we were over 100%. So we're down to 88%. LA Civic Center, they got a little more rain when it came. Average is 7.25. And so far they've gotten a little over 10.3. So they're still 143% of long-term average. So we're pretty good there. Water quality, Title 22. We did sample 18 wells on the Title 22 program in December. 82 wells in November, big month in November for sampling. I know Tom, General Manager Tom, will provide some information on imported water. I'll just say we did a surprise. State Water Project did allocate 15%, which is more than we expected. And we do have a call this afternoon to coordinate. As you recall, and your General Tom provided information in the past about coordinating the amount of money we've collected for water deliveries in the basin between Upper District and the Water Master and MWD, the decision was made to hold on to some money, buy some water out of cyclic storage for the price, but also hold on to some money in case there were some wet deliveries available. And it looks like that might happen. We're going to talk about it today with the 15% allocation. There may be a chance we're going to get some imported water deliveries. And the good part is between the smart guys, between Tom and Tony in the basin, they held some money back so we could actually buy it. So that's the end of my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Is there any comments or questions for our engineer from directors?
President Chavez, if I may. So yes. I just noticed on our agenda there is not the item for the GM report. So with your permission, since I'm going to talk about water supply, I'll do it under the engineer's report.
And yes, I think please staff, go ahead.
Yeah, staff thinks general managers talk too much anyway. That's probably why they left it off the agenda. So as Steve mentioned, we've got the 15% allocation. We will be, I've got a meeting a little later this morning with, or this afternoon with Tony from Watermaster and Stetson. We're going to kind of talk about how we want to approach this. And then we'll follow up with Metropolitan to see how do we want to see if we can take some deliveries of this little bit of extra water. That 15%, according to Metropolitan has analyzed the demands, is if demands are normal or low, that 15% will take us through the end of the calendar year. But it leaves virtually nothing left in the State Water Project storage reserve. So we are out still continuing our conservation education and encouraging the conservation to continue on a go-forward basis. Then the second thing, since it is engineering, falls under the engineer's report, I suppose, is we do open bids for the building renovations on Friday this week. We are getting a lot more interest from contractors. We're hoping we'll get at least 5 bids, and we might even get as many as 7 or 8 bids on the project. So we will open those bids at 10 o'clock on Friday, and that'll come before the board at the first meeting in February. It'll go through the Water Resources Facility Management Committee and then to the board to the first meeting in February. Hopefully we'll have a responsible low bidder to recommend an award. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you for the engineer's report. We'll go to item number 12, director's comments. We'll go ahead and start with Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, President Chavez. Since there wasn't an MWD's report today, I wanted to discuss our special board meeting yesterday, which was quite contentious and surprising, as a matter of fact. The board met in a special meeting yesterday, and as I have discussed with you in the past, that Chairman Gloria Gray Chairwoman Gloria Gray has been working on a new committee structure for a long time, combining committees and introducing new committees, which some of the board members wanted. And yesterday she told us that she has discussed this plan with every director, and I know she has. She's called me many times about it and who should serve as chair and vice chair of these committees. But she was challenged yesterday at the last minute by gossip again. And she gave an outstanding talk to the board after this came to light. We were all surprised by what was going on, telling us how hard she has been working to bring this board together. And she has. She had a major two-day conference bringing the board together, a retreat. And we thought we were all together, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And she has reached out to a number of directors trying to meet their needs. We had some interesting comments of people who called in yesterday, including the NAACP, which told each director that they are now monitoring each director to see how they are treating Ms. Gray and her policy and how her policies are being treated. We also received another call of a woman who said was very upset by what was going on and says, are you people discriminating against her because she's a woman and a woman of color? And then another caller called, who was obviously well-scripted, saying that Gloria and her supporters wanted to fire the GM. And that's a ridiculous comment. There has been no talk of that, and we seem to be in agreement with our new GM. And I use this as a dropping-off point. If any of you were listening yesterday, I had about enough of this baloney and did address the board on these issues, and the chairwoman was very appreciative, and so were many of the board members. As I said to you in the past and said to the board yesterday that in my 18 years on the board, I've never seen it so fractured as it is now. And again, it's interesting to see Gloria challenged at every move while our opposition continues to advocate for women's rights. But I see more directors becoming more vocal in support of her as chair. In the past, we have had water buffaloes on the board. Now it's politicians, and we must prevent that from happening at MWD and also at the local water boards. We have very serious issues, as I mentioned yesterday, that need to be taken care of in water, and we can't be spending our time on these sorts of things. So thank you, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Dr. Fellow. We'll move to Director Garcia.
No comments today. Thank you.
Director Trevino.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also listened in to the special board meeting yesterday, and Director Fellow is absolutely right. It was unprecedented that the entire slate that was proposed by the chairwoman was turned down by a majority of the board. It's not happened before. However, a couple of the women that spoke and voiced their concerns regarding the fact that nothing has been fixed. The women are still suffering out there, both at Union Station and in the desert. The Shaw report has not been introduced to the board. It still has not been made public to the board or to the public. The recommendations in the Shaw report have not been followed. There's been a lot of grandiose plans, but as the employees have said, nothing has been done on a day-to-day basis to fix the problems. The issue of equity and representation by minorities and females as chairs and vice chairs of the board has not really been meant, as the Shaw report has pointed out, and still continues not to be meant. And the two employees that spoke were very passionate. These two women have suffered tremendously. And they are still concerned. So I think it has nothing to do with the fact that Chairwoman Gray is a woman of color or a woman. Everything to do with the fact that the policies that were proposed in the Shaw report and the investigations and the recommendations have not been followed. And we're still not reflecting the equity and ethnicity balance on leadership on the board. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Vice President Santana.
Thank you. So I wanted to thank my board members for reappointing me to the SGVWA, SGVPA, and SGVCOG. You know, and I apologize for not mentioning this earlier. I'm looking at the memorandum, the 2021 appointments and at-will representatives. In the SGVWA, under meetings, and this is in the attachment here, it says meets quarterly at 11:30. I believe second Wednesday in February, May, August, November. I believe that is a meeting monthly on the last Monday. Is that correct? Does anybody know? I'm sorry to put staff on the spot.
Hi, Director Santana. This is Patty. Yeah, so for the San Gabriel Valley Water Association, it is a monthly meeting. I believe the quarterly reference was meant previously. They used to meet quarterly. They would have like a breakfast. So that's just an error on the memo.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying. And then they did mention, okay, that was that comment. Moving on to the committee reports that I'm appointed to, or for these reports. So the SGBWA, they did mention they will be bringing back, I believe, in the last meeting, the breakfast, which is, I think, great news. I'm sure that we'll get more details to come from the agenda coming up that is sent to board directors. And then I'm also on the legislative committee for the SGBWA. And there was a, just to give everyone an update, there was a presentation from the WQA in the LEG meeting talking about moving the sunset date up to 2050, I believe. Wait, what year are we?
Yeah, that's correct, Director Santana.
Yeah, thank you. So that didn't come to the board. I believe there's going to be some further discussion on that, but I just wanted to keep the board abreast of that issue. And then for the SGB COG, we now have Three Valleys, which is the designated representative. This is a rotating seat. So this past year, Upper District was the vocal representative sitting on that board. Now we have Three Valleys, I believe it's Director Goitia. Katia. So there's that issue. And then for the San Gabriel Valley Protective Association, it's annually, and I believe it meets in April, so we'll give you an update on that once that meeting happens. The San Gabriel Valley COG, this was my first time on there. It's been a very exciting year, and it really shows the kind of issues that the cities are dealing with and in regards to water and other things that they're dealing with, they have on their plates, which kind of gives a lot of perspective on where we all work together and where we need to sometimes be a little bit more vocal in explaining to them some of our issues that they might not be aware of. So, and I want to commend Tom. He really did a great job on the Water TAC committee, giving these presentations. If anyone wants to listen in, he's very respected on that committee. So, and with that, that's all my director's comments. Thank you.
Thank you. And I am next on the list for director's comments, and I will take a pass this meeting. Item number 13, future agenda items. Anyone wishing to put anything on the agenda, please let Tom or I know, and we'll accommodate you. Item number 14, there's no closed session, correct? Tom?
That's correct.
Okay. Sorry. I was
muted. Okay. If there's, we'll go to item number 15. Tom, is there any other business that we need to dispense with at this time?
Not at this time, President Chavez.
Thank you. With that, I thank all my colleagues. I thank the public for their participation and wish you very well. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.